Supply chain digital transformation using change management. A supply chain digital transformation is an umbrella term for a wide variety of supply chain improvements designed to upgrade supply chain maturity. This includes providing end-to-end visibility, supply chain agility and resilience, process or transaction automation, and better customer and supplier relationships. Change management is critical to making such changes happen. Moreover, it is needed for any continuous or breakthrough improvement for an organization. The bigger the change, the more it will be resisted. Resistance sources include the organization's culture, persons who understand how to operate within the status quo, and suppliers and customers who do not want the expense or sustained effort required to make a change. Resistance will be especially strong if prior organizational change initiatives have failed, perhaps because they were treated as projects that, once finished, were ignored in favor of familiar routines. Change itself must be planned and executed. Leaders need to inspire commitment and enthusiasm, and managers need to provide clear direction and monitor and control results long after any change projects are completed if the organization's strategic changes are to be realized over the long term. Change management roadmap. For change management to be effective, there needs to be two levels of implementation plans. Each plan should identify milestones, tasks, and resources. A roadmap, a high-level master plan that can be continuously reprioritized as needed, contains all improvements in sequence and delineates where projects end and use in operations begins. Project plans schedule all steps required to achieve the targets for each key performance indicator, KPI, set deadlines, and assign accountability for achieving results. Note that change is usually difficult due to the high potential for unintended consequences. A change to one part of a system will affect the other parts. All companies and functional areas involved in the process must know what the improvement initiative involves so they can develop their own objectives and strategies to contribute to a synchronized effort. When planning change across organizations, a successful pilot study with a limited number of companies may inspire confidence in other supply chain partners and make full implementation easier. In effect, the outcome of the pilot sets a benchmark for the rest of the partners. Change can be enormously disruptive across a large organization if it isn't handled properly. To ease an organization, let alone several supply chain partners, into change, the team, along with executives, must prepare the ground carefully before the initiative and maintain communication during and possibly long after implementation. Some organizational and personal issues may hinder progress toward goals if they aren't addressed in the beginning. Some companies may need to change from a functional to a process-oriented structure to get to a minimum level of supply chain maturity, in other words. Structural changes may be major and should be included in the plans. Leadership from the top ranks of the organization is crucial to success. The leaders in the affected partner companies must be brought into the process as full partners and passionate advocates to get the employees to commit to the change. Incentives should be adjusted to reflect a balanced scorecard. The measures of success must reflect the four quadrants of the scorecard. Not only the success of the initiative in meeting its process improvement goals. Growth and learning will most likely have to be integral to the initiative. People must not be introduced to new roles and new expectations without being thoroughly prepared. Training can take different forms depending on roles and responsibilities. New skills may best be learned in a person-to-person or classroom context with follow-up on the job. New procedures may best be taught on the job with easy-to-use job aids for reinforcement. If the processes are computer-based, the training should also be computer-based. All companies involved in the revised process will have to work together in true partnership, sharing information and adjusting their strategies with an eye to the success of the overall supply chain and the positive impact on the end customer. Information sharing may have to be approached diplomatically, with an emphasis on what can be gained in terms of enhanced value for the customer and smoother operation of the supply chain. Periodic targets for KPIs from the balanced scorecard should be set, being sure to meet financial goals as well as other scorecard goals, prerequisites for change. According to Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, three things are needed for any change to succeed in becoming a long-term practice on either a personal or organizational level. Desire. You need to want to change. Knowledge. You need to know why the change is beneficial and what the end results look like. Skill. You need to acquire and apply the right tools and techniques to achieve your goals. If any of these elements are missing, the change will fail. Change management processes address all of these things methodically. Change processes. One example of a change process is a model developed by John P. Cotter, author of several books on change management. In Cotter's book Accelerate, he outlines 8 accelerators, a set of principles that relate to a change driver he calls the big opportunity. A big opportunity is a new idea. It could be an agile reaction to an emerging threat, orchestrating visibility technology among partners, a new business model or methodology, a new product, and so on. What distinguishes a big opportunity from other potential changes or improvements is that it is a solution or opportunity that will create lasting benefits into the future rather than just addressing present problems. It would be difficult to achieve the change without a sustained impetus, and it is something that people can get excited about. It has to be an idea that top management agrees makes great sense and aligns with the organization's mission, vision, and core values, but it is not just a reiteration of those ideals. It may be aligned with the current strategy or may be the impetus to change the strategy. Cotter's 8 accelerators form the process that turns the big opportunity into action more rapidly than an established hierarchical system can, because a key element is the establishment of a network organizational structure intended to mimic the creative thinking of an entrepreneurial startup. The existing hierarchical organizational structure remains in place to address ongoing operations and business administration. The two structures share people. The network is more informal and is driven by the current or next big opportunity. The 8 accelerators are paraphrased here. Big opportunity and urgency. Determine a big opportunity and create a sense of urgency around it, getting buy-in and enthusiasm from as many people as possible. People who feel this urgency will be thinking continually about how to advance the goal and how to sustain its urgency, guiding coalition as change agents. The first big opportunity helps form the core of the network, as a guiding coalition forms to help win this opportunity. These core members will be change agents who want to lead, feel passionately about the big opportunity, and have something to contribute. As the team forms, it will need guidance to understand how a network needs to differ from a hierarchy, so they keep the entrepreneurial spirit rather than starting to build a hierarchy within the network. For example, a focus on budgets, project management roles, vision, and inspiration. The network forms a vision for the big opportunity and develops related strategic initiatives. The initiatives worked on first are those that most inspire the guiding coalition. Legion of Volunteers. The network grows by creating an army of volunteers who can devote a portion of their time, either on an ongoing basis or just for a temporary period. They help create buy-in and get things done. Cotter's research indicates that a network made up of 5 to 10% of the total workforce is sufficient to make a well-functioning network. Volunteers need to be vetted for both the necessary level of commitment and the ability to help. The ability to help could take the form of relevant knowledge or expertise, relationship-building skills and a network of relationships, or possession of influence and credibility. Obstacle and duplication avoidance. The network's members focus on removing obstacles to ensure rapid progress on the big opportunity. They also pay close attention to initiatives on the hierarchical side to avoid duplications of effort. Credibility through wins. The network proves its worth by creating quick wins as well as bigger wins that have strategic relevance. These wins are highlighted and celebrated to help the network gain credibility, even starting to win over managers who either did not support the dual network concept or did not volunteer to help. Self-sustaining network. The network sustains itself by recognizing and supporting numerous sub-initiatives, which provide the quick wins described in the prior principle. It also continues to look for the next big opportunity and continues to recruit new members based on the needs. Institutionalize. Successful initiatives are incorporated into the organization's hierarchical organizational structure so they can be sustained and institutionalized. This includes integration into the organization's policies and procedures, metrics and enforcement, and eventually the culture, as the culture becomes one that supports change as a necessary element of thriving in a rapidly changing world. Many of the concepts expressed in Cotter's change methods are also captured in the following generic change management process. How these steps address the desire, knowledge, and skill prerequisites for change is also described. Prepare for change. Identify the need to change. Knowledge. Set forth a compelling vision of the future. Desire and knowledge. Explore the costs and benefits of change and the organization's strengths and weaknesses that can complement or deter change. Knowledge. And build consensus and enthusiasm for change. Desire. Plan for change. Determine success criteria. Knowledge, discover what areas, for example, business units, roles, need to change. Knowledge, develop detailed plans for each area, including formal projects, training, and focused events. Skill, develop ongoing management, monitoring, and controlling plans. Skill, and gain approval and funding. Desire and skill. Execute change. Execute projects, training, and events. Skill. Monitor change. Lead and manage using the new operational policies, procedures, and processes. Skill and monitor and control against new metrics that align incentives to strategic goals. Skill. These generic change management steps are discussed in more next. Prepare for change. Preparing for change needs to involve everyone. When more people see the need to change because they are involved in identifying that need, more people will support the change. Executives need to initiate and champion change, but cannot simply hand it down from above. They need to get people involved at all stages so that they all own the change. The steps that lead to this buy-in from all parties follow. Identify need for change. Rather than changing simply because a new method exists, the right reasons for change usually involve the realization that the status quo will no longer suffice to achieve organizational goals. Identifying the need for change starts with taking stock of the current state of the organization. This information is then compared to the new methodologies being contemplated as well as to what competitors are doing. The process could involve a formal project or a series of meetings, depending on the scope of the change. The idea is to use careful investigation to arrive at a frank understanding of the as-is state and to envision whether continuing to operate in this fashion will work in the future. Create change vision. If some type of change is needed to continue growing and prospering, then the next step is to determine what the end results of the change will look like. Beginning with the end in mind involves understanding what the organization wants to accomplish with the change. This involves executives first determining strategic goals, such as becoming agile, then building this into a high-level concept of the end results, and then communicating this vision to everyone in the organization in a compelling manner. Once executives settle on a strategy that will help the organization achieve its long-term goals, the next step is to develop a big-picture view of what the change will look like. This requires developing an understanding of not only what needs to be accomplished and its scope, but also who will be accountable for success and when the results are to be achieved. This effort cannot be an executive's only process. As many people as is feasible should be involved in conceptual design, not only to gather unique perspectives from managers and functional staff, but also to give people a chance to make this their change program rather than being handed one. More perspectives can be contentious, but also can bring a wealth of new ideas. Setting a compelling vision is the essence of leadership. This is where top management shows that it is fully invested in the change, that they are going to champion it, and that they are going to enlist the help of everyone in getting it right. Top management support sounds almost like a given, but many change initiatives fail because executives don't get involved. Their involvement trails off, or they fail to keep reinforcing how important the initiative is to the organization's future. Top-level support also needs to be active. This includes executive or board-level governance, monitoring of key milestones in progress, and periodic recognition of program achievements. Determine costs and benefits of change. Participants in a change program can help brainstorm the costs and benefits of the change. Costs may include monetary costs, technical or external barriers, or anticipated resistance to change in its many forms, for example, ignoring, complaining, actively resisting. Persons or areas who would be more resistant than others might be identified so they could be handled specially. Benefits of the change are also enumerated and communicated to everyone. Assess organization's strengths and weaknesses. Exploring the strengths and weaknesses of the organization is where the organization's culture is explicitly considered. A given methodology will have many standardized features, but some elements will work better with the organization's culture than others. Determining the organization's organizational and cultural strengths can help show where these will reinforce the change and make it uniquely this organization's initiative. Similarly, developing an understanding of organizational and cultural weaknesses will show which areas of a program will meet the most resistance. Some of these program areas might be modified to better fit the organization. Others will require changing the culture when the weakness would otherwise endanger the success of the strategy. Build consensus. Getting buy-in from people cannot be overemphasized in a change management initiative. People like to feel that they have a say in matters. people are naturally resistant to any decision that they feel they have had no input in. It goes against a desire for autonomy and personal growth. Even when people's ideas are not eventually adopted, giving them a chance to express them from the outset of an initiative will give a sense of buy-in. Buy-in can be accomplished in many ways, including brainstorming sessions, distributing surveys, asking for people's reactions to ideas, and formally involving representatives from affected business functions on project teams and in change planning meetings. Some persons will need to have full-time involvement, while others can have part-time or small roles. Another essential element of consensus building is to emphasize that the only way to achieve these goals is to work together. Tools and techniques to facilitate coordination, cooperation, and collaboration might include new types of supplier contracts, measurements that emphasize common goals over individual goals, or information systems, such as collaborative planning, forecasting, and replenishment, CPFR. Build enthusiasm. Building enthusiasm is an ongoing task for leaders at the executive and project management levels. While this is especially important right from the start, leaders need to sustain excitement for change in multiple ways, such as expressing excitement during large team meetings, by networking with individuals, by publishing a newsletter, or by advertising with short marketing messages that encapsulate the goals of the program, such as, "Supply chain resilience will allow us to seamlessly and rapidly shift to alternate supply sources when supply disruptions occur." Planning for change. Planning for change involves developing formal plans to provide everyone who is affected with the tools and skills they will need to succeed. This starts by determining specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound, SMART, success criteria. Setting baselines will help an organization determine whether the initiative is succeeding or failing, and will help with continuous improvement after any related projects are complete. The organization can use the SCORE digital standard to help determine key performance indicators to use. Supply chain change initiatives may affect more business units than just the obvious ones. For example, marketing might need to change its focus from a make and sell philosophy to a sense and respond philosophy. Purchasing may need to move from a low-cost emphasis to a relationship-building emphasis. Manufacturing may need to retool whole plants and retrain staff to perform quick changeovers. Distribution may need to have new information systems to select better modes of transportation on the fly and track inventory movements closely. And finance and accounting may need a new set of measurements that can show the financial benefits of the new operating methods rather than making them seem like purely negative costs. Last but not least, the organization's culture may need to change, and doing so requires finesse. Changing an organization's culture requires knowing human nature and how to develop incentives that will lead people to change their ways. Change plans. Change plans for each area of the organization might involve formal projects with all of the detailed initiating, planning, executing, monitoring, and controlling, and closing that this entails. Or it might involve planning various types of training for individuals, such as formal classroom training. Or it could involve brief continuous improvement events. Regardless of the method of planning for change, from a change management perspective, the most vital aspect of these plans is on people and relationships. While a new technology will have many challenges and costs, it is critical to invest significant time training people on how to use the new tool. People and relationships will also be a top concern when changes involve moving from a transactional to a partnering relationship with suppliers. These paradigm shifts are difficult to achieve and so require serious attention and planning. Plans to improve relationship building may need to include talent acquisition and development, executive training and support, and leveraging new collaborative tools and communication channels that are implemented across multiple organizations. Plans also need to include specific and detailed relationship building activities for each area. For example, executives might need to initiate contact with specific supplier and customer counterparts regarding collaboration. Marketing might need to define what additional information they need to collect on customers and how to determine customers' actual wants and needs. Purchasing may need to develop a mentoring program to help other business units develop supplier relationships. Operations may need to work on empowering employees by providing them with more autonomy and cross-training. Distribution may need to determine how to share order information with suppliers and customers. And finance and accounting may need to collaborate with other organizations to develop total cost of ownership or other total supply chain metrics. Culture change is also about people and relationships. Plans for changing culture may involve getting expert consultants to help design new metrics and incentives that pull people toward desired behavior rather than pushing them. Organizational change plans cannot stop with projects, training, and events. These things are temporary endeavors, while the changes will be part of ongoing operations. Therefore, plans will necessarily also involve aligning business rules to institutionalize the changes. Enforcement needs to be consistent and vigilant so that people aren't allowed to slip back into their old ways or develop workarounds. Organizational structures may also need changes. Often, this means that the organization becomes flatter to allow faster communications, more allowed direct communication channels, and fewer organizational silos. Approval and funding for change plans and projects is mandatory. Sufficient funding for change management is a signal on top management's part that they want the changes to succeed. Executing change. If the plans for physical and social change are well developed, they can be implemented smoothly in a step-by-step fashion. Usually the physical changes, like configuring a new information system, receive a lot of time and attention. Communication flows need to proceed and follow these physical changes. First preparing individuals for the change, then guiding them through the change, then providing training, and then reinforcing the training through practice, certification as applicable, mentoring, and so on. The cultural changes are also initiated from the start, but these will take the longest to complete, since culture changes slowly. Realizing the glacial pace of culture change is the key to successful culture change. The effort to change culture, to help people see the world in a different way, needs sustained effort that is built into an operations mentality rather than treating it as a temporary project. New business goals may require the following: new business vision and mission statement. A new vision and mission statement is an opportunity to define the values of the new culture. Those values may involve a greater focus on the customer, meeting customer needs, and delivering complete satisfaction. It may mean abandoning traditional interdepartmental and/or intercompany boundaries in favor of open, cooperative, and collaborative relationships. Involving as many people as possible in crafting these statements makes the drafting process itself into a culture change tool. New business organization. In the past, organizational structures focused primarily on individual profit centers. The information moved up the organization's hierarchy where decisions were made, and then moved down the channels where the decisions were carried out. In contrast, many types of reorganizations may require pushing decisions down the organizational structure from upper management to those involved in the actual processes. Traditional hierarchical organizations may flatten and move toward interdisciplinary teams or add a parallel network structure for big opportunities. New job definitions and organizational structures. The skills needed may require redefining job descriptions or organizational structures. Employees and management need to understand different perspectives in their new teams. They may need to provide support and backup for other employees. Many members of the organization will need to acquire knowledge and develop new skills. The criteria for job success will change as well. Managers may need to migrate from being taskmasters and scorekeepers to being process owners and mentors who are responsible for identifying resources as well as coaching and providing problem-solving facilitation for their employees. Monitoring change. When people resist change, and they will, the goal is to listen first, because people need to feel understood before they will attempt to understand. Showing that you are willing to listen and are taking complaints seriously will help people feel more comfortable sharing their issues and fears. The more people share, the better idea the organization will have of the current level of acceptance of the change. The organization needs to take individuals' fears seriously, address them by listening and carefully considering how these fears can be alleviated, and then provide the response not only to the individuals who brought them up, but to everyone affected by the change, since many persons who are remaining silent will likely have similar fears. Monitoring change also involves leading and managing using the new methods and monitoring and controlling using the new metrics. Leading and managing using the new operational policies, procedures, and processes will institutionalize the change. Projects and events cannot sustain a change effort. They are limited in duration and funding. The change has to become the new way of doing business, the new normal. This requires both leadership and management. Leadership is used to continue refining strategy based on feedback from management and to set the tone and the vision for fully realizing the benefits envisioned by the change. When top management lives by the new methods, the change becomes something that cannot be ignored. Management provides clear direction as to policy, procedure, and process and makes organizational changes as needed, such as by replacing staff members who refuse to learn or apply the new ways. Monitoring and controlling to a new paradigm requires new metrics that create the proper incentives. A new metric that measures whether or not the entire supply chain benefits will deter suboptimization. A procurement executive who is rewarded for establishing collaborative supplier contracts will work to get such contracts signed. Once the new strategically aligned metrics are in place, systems and individuals need to be monitored against those metrics. Control of significant variances and trends then enforces the change process. Finally, analysis of actual results can be used as feedback to show which metrics need modification. Since it is difficult to predict some of the side effects of incentives, continually improving these metrics will help to get the organization closer and closer to its desired strategy.